right.
How's everybody? Okay. It's funny, I just met Khadijah a couple hours ago. We have so much in common. Mm-hmm. I'm from Liberia, and I came to the U.S., as Larry said, in 75, so we could do the math. I was about 8 years old. In 75, and finished this chapbook in 2012. This is the second one that I've self-published. And this one, I have been working for years to get these stories out. And this was called She Was Once Herself. So this story basically talks about an African woman who leaves Liberia to come to America for what everybody comes for, a better life. And then while being here and sending for her young children, she ends up having a mental health crisis. And she has a breakdown, and she's diagnosed with schizophrenia. So it's the story of my mother, and through poetry. But it's also, it's not so much, I don't want to begin and end with a tragic affair, because it's not a tragic affair, it's actually a story of survival. And so I like to just skip around. But I'm going to start with something and be very courageous here, because this is something pretty recent that's not in the book. And I was talking about 2012 being an interesting year for me. The beginning of 2012, I lost my sister in Liberia. And then at the end, I lost my brother. And it's interesting going from being five children to three for my parents, but being in the middle sibling to now being the oldest sibling within a span of 10 months. So it was very interesting going through that process. And the only way I could describe it, we talked about Sonia Sanchez earlier about her influence on so many of us, and she writes a lot of hakus, and hakus are something that I always stayed away from, form in general. But writing about my sister just felt like it had to be as minimal as possible, sort of like I just wanted to get through that period, the grief, and I thought that the haiku was a good way to try to process that. So these are just snippets, and it's called Cecilia Too Soon. Your sister has passed, words like bombs detonating, boom, me in pieces. So quick she left us, last words still ripe on my lips, holding back a damn. We dressed her in light opulent lavender. She was grand. Death won't suit her. 12 months since she died, days spin like a clock's younger hand, ticking daggers. Loss has emptied me, snatched so swift and carelessly, no time to mouth by. I say her name sweet like prayer and mad like sin, and in between I gasp. Things I didn't voice to her thieves my sleep, 3 a.m. alarms blaring, why? I seek her in strange places, once I chase a song inside its guts, numb. Death, I know you now, no longer mere metaphors or whims dashed in verse. Poems have been my balm, rubbed into sorrow-soaked limbs, massaging my grief. Soon I will bundle this ache, roll it into my yesterdays, and wait. I relished her smile. We two were all teeth and cheeks, grinning sister love.
Just wanted to get that out. And I'm going to read some pieces in the book. And I'm going to start with a piece that I usually start with. Poor Al, and he's heard this twice. And this is called Letter to My Sister. And in the process of coming to America, being raised in North Philadelphia, just having, I say, the benefit and the blessing of two great experiences, growing up in North Philadelphia and also being an African woman, kind of merged together. But there were a lot of other stuff that happened. So this one is called Letter to My Sister. I have turned our childhood into a few dozen verses. There are places for dramatic pause, and where memory failed, I embellished a bit. You've grown impatient with me, my so-called poetic license. I don't remember that has become your wary mantra. I'm learning to excavate the good times, too. Can't you see where I've colored some words and inserted those tender moments? A famous writer once said that eventually I will tire of myself and will be compelled to tell the eyeless stories. I anxiously await that moment. But for now, I want to tell them about our war with Mama's illness, and how at school we remained for being foreign. Remember, Dee, when they chased us up Tioga Street and accused us of having voodoo and scanned our dark bodies for tribal scars and discovered the cayenne pepper we had hidden to throw in their faces, to sting them, to make them fear us, to be left alone, to be African. D, I have managed to poem all my pain. Tell me, what do you do with yours? Everything I've adored alters. Mommy used to sing Aretha Franklin in a shaky voice laced with accent. How we made a carousel of merriment. She, our lead horse, ornate and shiny, swinging us about the living room, our arms linked. Then the schizophrenia stopped the organ, stopped the cymbals and snares, and she sat like wood in a colorless room, her lips replying to the voices none of us heard. Mother. She is Amelia Earhart in our immigrant story. Stashed every penny she made from hawking rice bread and milk candy on dusty Monrovia streets. Three babies sagging her, crumpled bills knotted in her lapa, breast milk, road filth, and sweat summed her until she boarded that plane in 1971. By the time she sent for her husband, she has advanced him 2 years in America, 2 years of counting her children's birthdays, 2 years of pining for her homeland. Sweet mother, I'm not gonna forget you for the way you suffer for me. By the time he arrives, she has pressed hospital corner creases into hundreds of beds in the G Street Y. She knows how to punch a clock. She has abandoned the staining palm butter stew and rice lunch that had gotten her fired from the linen factory and replaced it with a turkey sandwich, Wonder Bread, and Pepsi Cola. She has learned to drive and knows her way through the maze of the chocolate city. She ventures out to discount stores to purchase her children American finery. She has two bank accounts. She navigates the plumbing system and the gas stove. She skips meals and eats store-bought in her tiny flat. She is stretched with all of this knowledge and liberty. She is puffed with the pride of learning the new land. When the husband arrives in 1973, and with a tight embrace and a dry kiss, she becomes a wife again. She tells him all of it, the shine and the infamy, the cold, the austerity of America. He is her barometer of African tradition, and the measurement is laden with one-sided expectations. But what of her pioneering years, when she boarded the jumbo jet and walked alone in a strange land? How to do all she had done and remain quiet? How to live like a man in this new place?